Thank you for arranging your efforts and to come to Seattle. My name is Bill Whipple. I'm an active broadcaster in the area for 56 years. During my career, I've been an owner, news director, and sales manager. I strongly oppose expanding broadcast cross-ownership. I now volunteer to broadcast for the blind over the Evergreen Radio Reading Service, a part of the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library. I also am executive director of Tape Ministries Northwest, which records free, wholesome, inspirational books for the blind in 48 states and Canada. Former on-air broadcasters are recording books for both of these entities, donating their time and talent. It is a shame that broadcasting conglomerates, with all their profits, are not helping more public service organizations. With digital radio, nonprofits should be at least allowed access to the new radio channels, if not the primary frequencies. It appears that public service is last on most broadcasters' agendas. I'd like to take roll call now. Is Como TV here? Would you say here? Is Cairo TV here?
Sir, Fisher Communications, owner of Como.
Good, great. Good to have you here. How about KCPQ TV? Great. How about Cairo News Radio? Como Radio? The Seattle PI?
Cool Out TV!
Seattle Times? They're here, I know. Well, this kind of speaks as to why we need more independent reporting. Clear Channel has announced that it's divesting hundreds of radio stations in small markets. Why? Because they can still have market share in 200 markets instead of 300, and it will save them money and not affect the bottom line. The bottom line. It has left us in local broadcasting and public service without a line.
Good evening. I'm Lee Robartis, manager of a low-power FM licensed station called Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, where we have about 50 community members having their own shows at, and we're very grateful for the opportunity to put a community radio station on the air through the low-power FM process. My first points are pretty obvious. Low-power FM should not have secondary status to full-power FM stations that want to move in on your frequencies. And they should be allowed on third adjacent frequencies to full power stations so they can exist in urban areas like Seattle and middle-sized cities. I want to talk about HD radio, or IBOC, which is the method of digital FM radio currently being rolled out. It really is a consolidation issue because HD radio sends out these redundant digital signals above and below the main analog FM signal. These signals cause interference to adjacent signals, and if fully implemented, will actually reduce the number of signals a typical listener can hear on their analog radios, of which there are 2 billion in existence in the country, from what I've heard. Stations won't be heard as far away. That's no big deal for the corporate chain owners who may have another station of the same format about 30 miles down the road. But for a standalone station with a unique public service type format, they will be hurt. It's also a game that cannot be played by small stations. I've recently volunteered at a full power station that operated on a $5,000 per year budget. But the digital transition costs at least $75,000 per station. This HD radio is promoted by corporate owners as increasing diversity because they say they can broadcast a second programming stream. That's giving Clear Channel, which is allowed 8 stations per market, 16 stations in a city. There are ways to have digital radio without hurting the signals of smaller stations that really help our communities. Putting digital radio on a separate band, or 4 weeks ago, Radio World mentioned that FM Extra, which puts a better digital signal on the same channel and actually transmits further than HD radio without interference and is cheaper. I think you and your Republican colleagues should look into the type of format that is best for the public interest. Thank you.
Thank you very much for allowing us to speak today, and thank you for coming here. It really is an example of what government of the people, by the people, for the people should be doing. A couple of years ago, I was at a conference that was talking about systems thinking. There was a director of communications there from Aramco, which is one of the big oil companies in Saudi Arabia. He was talking about broadcasting, and one of the interesting things that really jogged me in a lunching conversation was about localism. He was expressing how the message, no matter where it was coming from, was better rendered at Aramco when local people at Aramco gave the message. It caused me to think about the message that we are dealing with here that comes into our homes. We get messages from all over, from the regional and from national and stuff like that, but it's the local message with that face that maybe we know, or the voice that certainly rings some kind of true, but somehow that person that has that local feel to it that can really give us more of the information that we need. In a time, in a crisis, when fear is the greatest weapon that is being used right now to act or make us not act, I think that having a local voice is an assurity. It's a light in our darkness. I just want to give a very short thing about, I believe community access to public technology is one of the best things that we need to do and one of the things that we need to work on. I think that putting the public part of broadcast back into its proper place is one of the things we need to do. And I also think that otherwise that we're going to be left with the commercial broadcasting and we're going to be left with the reality of not the waves that we want. I just want to turn 1 second to the community here and say that when you go home, go back to your communities, please bring this message back into the communities. This is what's needed. We need the local reverberation, the resonance from our communities to come forth. You people, you've been listening. You're now educated. Now go forth, okay?
My name is Sylvia Haven. Nothing would have persuaded me to come out in the slushy road when my car got stuck to get here this evening unless it were a matter of life and death. Now, that may sound like hyperbole, but consider this. If the media were allowed to concentrate into fewer and fewer corporations, and if those corporations were to support the agenda of an administration that was bent on war, and then if the public were persuaded by that media to support a needless war, thousands would die. 3,000 Americans and some hundreds of thousands of other precious lives. But wait, I think that's already happened. But maybe with your support in the Federal Communications Commission, we can have a more diverse and fair media, and the next war won't happen.
Hi, my name's David Friedman, and I'm out here at the urging of Commissioner Michael Copps. I read your post or your article today on Common Dreams, and encouraged me to come down here and stand up for my airwaves and encourage the FCC. In case your colleagues didn't hear us 3 years ago, come back and say again that we strongly oppose to any weakening or elimination of the FCC's media ownership regulations. I feel really fortunate as a member of the Seattle community to have a local radio station like KBCS to keep me informed, but I talk to friends around the country and have conversations with them about things I hear locally, and where did you hear that? I would never hear something like that in my community, so let's help us appreciate your work in continuing the fight to preserve our airwaves.
My name is Suzette West, general partner of Legend Heart Records, a true independent record company. True independent means that we have no affiliation or connections to major labels. True independent music is discriminated against by conglomerate radio stations because we are required to have an affiliation and our connection to a major label. This precludes our access to commercial and some non-commercial radio airplay. This goes against the declared policy of Congress and the Small Business Act, which states that government should aid, counsel, assist, and protect the interests of small business concerns in order to preserve free, competitive enterprise. Relaxing media ownership rules goes against the declared policy of Congress in the Small Business Act because doing so reinforces the existing market entry barriers against true independent music. My question to your fellow commissioners, does this commission intend to honor the declared policy of Congress as stated in the Small Business Act of 1958? Yes or no?
Good evening. My name is Jeff Hoyt. I live just across the water over there on Vashon Island. 7 years ago, when the LPFM program was first announced, we got a group together on Vashon to submit an application. And then it was promptly tossed right after the corporate conglomerates lobbied to get the spacing rules changed, as we all know. We did not fold up our tent, however. We began webcasting in the hope that we could tread water long enough to finally get a license one day. 7 years later, Voice of Vashon's still there. We're a respected and vibrant community asset. We built a studio using all volunteer labor. We taught broadcast journalism in our local high school, and we continue to teach students and young people to create and distribute content. If a major earthquake were to cut our island off from the mainland and leave our friends and neighbors unable to receive critical information, the FCC would hear from us within 1 hour with a request that we need an immediate emergency waiver that would allow us to broadcast over the air to our island community on a temporary basis while lives are at stake. The precedent was set during Katrina, and we would ask for that from the FCC, and we've trained repeatedly for this scenario. Despite, however, all of the work that we've done in all these areas, Voice of Vashon remains limited to a webcast operation, which means just a few listeners at a time. No one can hear us on the radio, in the cars, or while sitting in the ferry line. Yet we continue to serve our community 24/7, as we have for 7 years now. We've invested tens of thousands of volunteer hours toward our dream of reaching the airwaves, and part of what keeps us going is the FCC's oft-stated pledge to encourage community radio and increased localism in the media. So if you ever need, you know, a poster child to attach to this pledge, we will happily, you know, hop on a plane and head right to Washington for you. Yet we've been told that we're too close to Seattle to be considered for the upcoming non-commercial FM window, that we may not even qualify once the next iteration of LPFM appears. Now, if we can't even get on the air in the current climate, then how does loosening the rules around media consolidation do anything other than just slam the door shut on us forever? Thank you for being here, for doing all your good work, and thank you for continuing to give us reason to hope.
Rebecca E. Campbell, CEO, Maximilian Bucks Incorporated. Maximilian Bucks Incorporated champions the legal doctrine that, according to the United States Supreme Court, corporations are constitutionally legal persons with civil rights, and that money, their chief mode of communication, is hence a form of protected free speech. Maximilian Bucks champions those laws that allows corporate persons to use their campaign funding as free speech and their constitutional right to a democracy-proof free press. We champion those laws that would allow corporations to impersonally persuade through their acquisition of corporate-controlled politicians and all communications media in a given geographical area. We champion those laws restricting public media to and information in these monopolized democracy-proof mass media. Corporate media monopolies comprise the controlled psychic infrastructure of the few world order. They are majority owned by the same trillion-dollar institutional investors, which also own all of the major defense contractors and retail firms, as well as most of the publicly traded corporate stocks, banks, credit card companies, pension and benefit funds, and many public officials bought into by the majority of the American people. Corporate media monopolies therefore help make up not only the fourth estate, but also the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and so on estates of the several thousand families comprising the global power elite, ensuring that great fortunes, if not good ones, will continue to be broadcast throughout the planet by the majority of the American people and the global power elite that they in their denial continue to financially and amorally support. Finally, we wish to state that we would like to invite those Democrat FCC commissioners present tonight to a power breakfast tomorrow morning. Such a meeting, hopefully, of open minds as well as hands, could prove quite profitable for all concerned. We have included our immediate contact information in the copies of this presentation given to the two Democrat FCC commissioners. Thank you, commissioners, for your continuing presence at these repetitive public displays of democracy. We wish you a richly rewarding holiday season, and we salute you with the heretofore hidden hand of the market. Treason's greetings to all, and to all, a good night.
Another tough act to follow. Thanks for your patience tonight. I'm Bill Schreier. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for the City of Seattle, and therefore I'm the city official responsible for running the city government's own media outlets under oversight from Councilmember Godin, who you heard from earlier tonight. So thank you for coming to Seattle to hear testimony on this issue. It's especially appropriate to hold testimony here, this beautiful Seattle Public Library, a temple to the free press. So the Seattle City Council and Mayor Greg Nickels have taken a strong stand asking Congress and the FCC to strengthen media ownership rules. Councilmember Godin testified earlier this evening regarding that position based on council resolutions passed not only last week, but also in 2003. So let me tell you just a moment about Seattle City Government's own media. The city operates a website, www.seattle.gov. Earlier this year, the Center for Digital Government named this website the best city government website in the United States because of its feature-rich content, interactive services, and interactive design. Seattle also operates a municipal television station, Channel 21. Earlier this year, it was named the number two best municipal TV station in the United States, primarily because of its content, its programming content, community content, and diverse content. We also operate a democracy portal, which is a video archive of city council meetings and other public hearings, which any citizen can go to any time of the day or night to pull up those media. This set of honors and awards clearly demonstrates Seattle City Government's commitment to diversity in the media. But the blunt fact is that the media outlets in the United States have become extremely concentrated. The concentration of commercial media ownership standardizes and reduces the amount of local news and community programming we see, and an ever-increasing intent to maximize profits. There are some independent media outlets, such as the one I operate for the City of Seattle, but we all struggle for attention in this advertising-saturated environment. So thank you for coming here tonight. And thank you, Seattle, for coming here tonight. This is indeed government by and for the people.
Good evening. My name is Liz Brown, and I am the administrative officer for and a proud member of the Pacific Northwest Newspaper Guild. Our union is part of the Communications Workers of America, and we represent more than 1,000 newspaper and printing employees in Washington State, including employees at the Seattle Times, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, the Yakima Herald Republic, and other news operations. We strongly believe that relaxation of the FCC rules against cross-ownership of newspapers and broadcast media will only accelerate the pace of job losses in the American media industry. More than 44,000 news industry employees have lost their jobs over the past 5 years, with at least 34,000 jobs lost at newspapers alone. Ownership consolidation is in part the cause. These media job losses are having a direct impact on the quality of journalism provided to American citizens. An informed citizenry is essential to a functioning democracy, but consolidation of media ownership means fewer journalists, fewer choices, fewer voices, and an underinformed public. Consolidation of ownership matters because the exclusivity arrangements that corporate owners love are ultimately bad for consumers. When newspapers merge with TV station, it means more cooperation, but less competition and less motivation for each operation to go after better stories and to get those stories right. Some media executives have said that the proliferation of information available on the internet makes the concentration of media ownership irrelevant, but that is not the case. As we all know, internet traffic increasingly is channeled through portals owned or likely to be purchased by these same media corporations gobbling up newspaper and broadcast properties across the nation. Please maintain existing regulations against consolidation of media ownership. Take a firm stand on behalf of consumers, media workers, and the democracy we all call home. Thank you.
My name is Brian Johnson. I work with KAOS Radio down in Olympia, Washington. And while I think there are a lot of areas of the media and, frankly, our everyday lives that are overregulated, media ownership is definitely something that I think should have more rules. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Look at what we've gotten with the rules as they are now. We have an FCC report detailing the harmful effects of media consolidation being buried, only recently released. Video news releases being presented as actual news. We have reporters paid by the government to promote the government's agenda. Of course, Judith Miller, New York Times, syndicated columnist. Armstrong Williams, paid to promote No Child Left Behind. We have format radio, leading to a lack of access for local upcoming musicians. Lack of minority ownership in media outlets, excess fines that corporate media can simply roll into their budget, but that can knock out community media with one fell swoop with one word. And this has all happened with the rules as they are now. And what's going to happen if it's deregulated? Even further. We have to protect localism, promote minority voices, maintain our right to receive all sorts of information from all sorts of people, and maintain the cross-ownership ban. Thank you.
I think I'm up. I don't see my name there, but I'm Margaret Swartzman. I'm a concerned citizen of Seattle, and I speak not only for myself, but my family and my neighbors. To me, free and the public airways are the foundation of democracy, and because it allows dialogue, we're very lucky here in Seattle to have radio stations like KBCS that have public programs that allow the community to have voice and access to producing their own programs. And it's wonderful because it allows people like me to hear voices from very different members of the community than myself. And that knowledge allows me to be perhaps more open-minded. I think democracy needs to have dialogue, and too often we are getting through the airwaves not dialogue or information, but news as entertainment, news as propaganda. And I remember as a child going across the country and from Ohio to Wyoming every summer, and hearing as I left one community and the bandwidth of that community was, you know, had reached its limit, entering a new community and hearing a new voice. And it gave me a great appreciation for the diversity of America. I feel that the present, the other commissioners besides yourself are acting kind of like the overseer in a plantation, and they have shackled us, the public, the community that makes up American democracy, and they've handed the chains over to the plantation owner of corporate America. Please resist them.
Before our next speaker, I might want to mention that there are some laptops here for those of you that are not going to be speaking, or if you have to leave before your time comes up. These are wired. You can send your comments in writing directly to the FCC.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Bob Grubbs, and I live on Vashon Island. And I moved here about 2 years ago after spending most of my life in southwestern Ohio. I used to listen to a radio station there called WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio, which had an amazingly talented staff and featured a nice mix of NPR and PRI shows and some locally produced and hosted programming as well. And I'm here tonight really because as a result of watching with horror as that station purged most of its local programming and was assimilated into the Borg-like NPR entity, you know, resistance is futile. I became painfully aware in this process of just how this national trend toward media consolidation can play out at the local level, and it continues to drive locally produced broadcasting, I think, to extinction. As even non-commercial radio has gone increasingly into income-driven formats, there's less and less coverage of community-relevant issues and events. And musical genres such as jazz and classical are finding less bandwidth these days. And have, even though they have smaller audiences, I think they're still extremely important that we hear them. So we're left then with what I call big box radio, one size fits all, off the rack, reduced options menu of syndicated programming with little or no connection to the local community that this radio ostensibly serves. I realize that I'm preaching to the choir insofar as both of you are opposed to the reduction in ownership limits and have opposed it previously and do so now. So I ask you to take this message back to the other commissioners in Washington. The American people want the opportunity to listen to what others in their communities, people whom they know and can trust, think about various local issues or about a play that's being performed in the local community theater. They want to talk to people who can, or hear people who can tell them where the fish are biting and hear who's performing at the cafe downtown. As you rightly observed in your recent editorial in the Seattle Times, Commissioner Copps, the American people, not the corporations, own the airwaves. I submit to you that loosening the controls, regulating media conglomerates, is not what most Americans want to hear from the FCC. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kenneth Maninsky. I'm in the process of acquiring a small business, so I guess that makes me a rapacious capitalist. I'm not sure what the democratized media is going to look like. I've heard a lot of comments, I've read editorials, but nobody's really given me a clear picture of what it should be. Is it going to be taxpayer funded? Is the government going to control it? Who's going to be the arbiter of content? what happens to all the large, big media companies that own media now? Are they forced to divest? I don't know. But I have a couple of items that I just wanted to raise as we consider these issues. First of all, I've always believed that it's a false premise to equate the government's legitimate role in protecting the public interest with the notion that to do so requires its agencies to choose between winners and losers by administrative fiat. The federal government has established policies in the past that have balanced the public needs with the ability of private enterprise to start up, grow, and prosper. Whether through slight relaxation of regulatory burden or outright deregulation of entire industries, in many cases, this balance has ultimately benefited consumers through the introduction of new technologies and innovations to existing business models. The second point is that the media industry has historically been, and most likely will continue to be, an oligopoly, a marketplace with few competitors. There are limited broadcast licenses, large capital outlays required for print facilities, and high operational costs for news divisions. So the question is not whether the so-called monopoly exists, it's who the monopolists are going to be and who's going to decide who they are. And so I hope that you choose the new regulations wisely to benefit us all and bring a diverse democratic media to us that does not make winners and losers out of all of us, but serves the general public interest. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Ken LeBlanc, and I'm a graduate student at the Daniel J. Evans School of Public Affairs at the University of Washington. Thank you for coming to Seattle. Local news stinks, and that's no mystery. Something that may not be as well known locally is that of all the corporate-owned radio and television stations in Seattle, there is only one broadcast outlet from the Seattle media market with a full-time broadcast reporter in Olympia covering state government. That reporter being from one of our local NPR affiliates, KUOW. If that situation has changed for the better, since I first heard about this, I doubt it has changed much. Now, maybe I'm just a simple graduate student in public affairs who is a self-professed government nerd, but I think the lack of government coverage is sad. While I love my local NPR affiliate, this just isn't enough. Where's my government coverage on the evening news? Where's my election coverage? I blame lame media ownership, and I wish that you continue to do all you can to keep media ownership diverse and unconcentrated. Thank you.
Peace and greetings, commissioners. My name is Chasm. I am a hip-hop activist. Teaching artist. I am also an artist. Do a lot of things with media. I have a program called Zulu Radio and a television show as well. And I've been doing this work for a good 10 plus, almost 15 years now. And this is a very serious issue. We need more media democracy. We need more diversity. We have really no control, really, you know, over what we're listening to. We're going through alternative routes, trying to create our own alternative sources, you know. And as far as the I come from, you know, I listen to many genres, but my thing is hip-hop. And the things that we're being, that's being pushed upon us is negative. There's a lot of misogyny. There's a lot of, you know, irresponsible things. And this is being constantly reinforced into the young people's minds, and this isn't the root of hip-hop. This is not what hip-hop is. You know, it's a spiritual thing. It's a culture, and it encompasses a lot more than just the music. But a lot of students, you know, as I work with middle schoolers, they don't even know about the history of hip-hop. They don't know anything about it except for what they see and what they hear. And this has got to change. We need to create more spaces for local programming to create more supportive atmospheres and to continue, acknowledge and appreciate you going through the struggle, and that's my piece. Peace.
My name is George Robertson. James Surowiecki, in his book, The Wisdom of Crowds, tells us that the diversity and independence of the crowd are factors in decision-making are essential in determining if the will of the people, the aggregated will of the people in that crowd, are going to lead us to right answers about any question of cognition, whether it is who would make the best president or who will win between Green Bay and whoever they're playing next week. That notion that the aggregated will of the people will lead us to right answers is the central rational notion that underpins the reason for democracy. I think this tells me that, in general, media concentration is the enemy of democracy. The FCC should test every proposal for change by the three strategies. How will this argument, or how will this augment, how will this proposal augment diversity, and how will it augment the independence of the voices in America, and how will it augment public access to the megaphone of American media for ordinary people?
There we go. I'm Jennifer Power. I happen to work for Action Northwest, a local activist group, a local activist support network. And drawing on some of the points other community members have made, we recognize that activists are underreported and so are putting together Revolutions Per Minute, short RPM, a project, a multimedia project that reports on the activities of activists and activist groups in Seattle and around the state. This is actually only a side note to my statement. I'm reading a statement for a friend and colleague, Chris Luminar, who couldn't make it tonight. I'm also reading it because I wholeheartedly agree with it. It concerns the legal fact that airwaves belong to the people and the importance of this fact to the health of American democracy. Dear Mr. Copps and Mr. Adelson, as a citizen of the United States, I'm continually frustrated by what I see as the FCC giving away our media right-of-way to corporate giants. My specific complaint is this. Why do politicians have to pay media content providers for advertising time? These are public airwaves, and they're being held hostage to the highest bidder. Despite my constitutionally protected right to run for office, I can't run because I can't generate the massive funds required to pay for TV and radio ads. In addition, politicians are being forced to spend most of their time in office raising funds for future advertising instead of governing and listening to their constituency. I propose that we allot equal radio and TV time to each recognized candidate for state and federal office and not allow them to purchase any additional radio and TV ads. This will solve both problems at once, making running for office a possibility for those with less means, and also allow our politicians to do their jobs instead of fundraising all the time. As a bonus, I expect our politicians will be more accountable to we the people and less accountable to their bottom lines. Sincerely, Chris Luminar, as read by Jennifer Power.
Hello, my name is Judy Martinez, and I work for locally produced independent media, Cool Out Television and Hip Hop 101. Both programs are produced for SCAN, Seattle's Community Access Network, and we put local artists on TV, where BET or MTV will not do that. Both of our program producers have won Mayor Nichols Award for Excellence in Hip Hop, just to give you some background. One's been produced for 15 years, the other for 10 years. 2 points. We should never, ever have to be worried about losing our community access channel ever again. That's something that just comes, it almost chokes me up because we almost lost our channel this year. And that would mean no Cool Out, no Hip Hop 101, and no more of all the other programs that are on there. And the second point is we need more public television channels. to give voice to all of the voices in our community, not just, you know, a handful. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Tim Trainer, and I'm the CEO of a Seattle-based webcasting services company called Online Video Service. And as a public service, we are also webcasting this event live on the internet so people around the nation can watch this proceeding to provide greater transparency in the policymaking process. Online Video Service was started in 1999 and has become one of the leading webcasting service providers for the .gov, .org, and .edu marketplace. We have federal clients, major state and federal offices, as well as foundations and universities. I'm not speaking on behalf of my clients, but I do mention them to understand the issues involved for public affairs marketplace and briefly discuss my company's perspective to the media ownership question, and it's the issue of network neutrality. Since we founded Online Video Service in 1999, we've seen internet video, have seen the well-hyped promise of internet broadcasting is starting to become a reality. We have faster bandwidth connection speeds, increased PC power, greater availability of media players, and a new industry is being formed, and that's internet broadcasting, as you're well aware. It is very early, but we believe that internet broadcasting will evolve in many ways like the cable carriage model. Several well-known large entertainment properties, such as YouTube, will become household names, and like the mosaic of the internet, you will find access to all kinds of video programming, including public affairs, religious, educational, nonprofits, and so on. The reason why network neutrality is an important issue to our company is that we need to ensure that all programming on the internet continues to be treated equally, and to prevent that some content, which is best summed up in the words by George Orwell's book, All Animals Are Equal, But Some Animals Are More Equal Than Others. Currently, the internet is still overwhelmingly text-based and graphics, leaving plenty of backbone capacity for virtually all organizations. But video over the internet is significantly more complex than text and images and requires dramatically more infrastructure on the backbone to ensure that there's overall bandwidth capacity in the years to come. As this build-out continues over the next several years, telecommunication carriers and large content providers could enter into business relationships that could start to make their content more equal than others. Webcasting public affairs program is what we call stakeholder media. For example, there's more than 300 people watching this event live on the internet tonight. Webcasting is an important new tool for citizens, corporations, and government organizations to engage in policymaking and to improve government transparency. In fact, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California just signed a new executive order mandating all California state agencies to broadcast public meetings over the internet. As more and more government organizations and nonprofits begin to webcast these proceedings in the near future. But to put tonight's 300 people's audience perspective, one of the most popular pieces of video content right now on YouTube is called Crazy Dog, which is a home movie of a dog biting its own tail. That piece of content has been watched by more than 6 million people. Tonight's hearing, and frankly all public affairs programming, will never be as popular as, say, Crazy Dog. However, it will be paramount for governmental organizations to ensure now that public affairs programming for the .org, .gov, and .edu markets continue to receive full and open access to the internet. Thank you.
My name is Seth Kupchick, and I'm here because I believe that people really can influence public policy and that it's our right to fight for our civil liberties. The more media outlets consolidated under one corporation injures the freedom of the press granted in the First Amendment. Clearly, the more diversified the companies that own the TV stations, radio stations, and movie studios, the more likely we are to hear a variety of opinions on politics, art, and science, and the more informed and educated the body politic will be, making for a healthier democracy. I realize there are examples of this rule being used for individual gain, as Mr. Skotdahl insinuates of Mr. Blevin in today's Seattle Times article on this event. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But if it is, it is the exception rather than the rule. The FCC must open the playing field up to as many contradictory viewpoints as possible, because it's only through debate our country can grow. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Warren, and I was a working reporter for more than 20 years, and I am here because of my outrage and my heartbreak over what has happened to my former profession. And to me, much of the degraded state of reporting today is directly attributable to the growing media consolidation. When I worked for Cairo News Radio, I reported exclusively for Cairo. But now, Cairo is part of a much bigger group of radio stations, and this gets to the crux of the problem. Broadcast reporters today, they don't have any time. They, instead of just reporting for Cairo, they are now rewriting their stories for the web and for all of the other radio stations that are a part of that group. And I'm not complaining about Cairo specifically, because this is happening everywhere. It's just that I happen to know that station. Instead of each station having its own newsroom, you have one newsroom that is serving several different stations. And instead of being out on the streets or at City Hall or digging up stories and researching, reporters are simply rewriting the same old stories for the multiple outlets that they now have to service. And because they're not out and they're not able to work a beat, develop stories, research, even just think, they don't have the information, and more importantly, they don't have the self-confidence to really dig, to ask hard questions, to take the flack that comes when you ask hard questions and you write the story that is not the story that has just been laid out for you. When you don't have time to listen and you don't have time to ask questions, the result is this enormously heavy dependency on spot news, fires, homicides, crimes. Any reporter will tell you those are the easiest stories to report about. They require the fewest amount of resources and the least experienced reporters. And the other thing that happens is press releases get turned into stories, and a lot of big stories are not pursued simply because reporters are spread too thin with too many masters to serve, and what we get instead is simply rewriting the newspaper or a press release. And I should say, today I work for a public relations agency, and if you can afford to pay me, I can get you on the air or in print, because I know how to serve it up, and reporters are desperate for that. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Lila Katayev, and I'm here to speak today as an independent media maker. I work with Real Girls, a filmmaking and media literacy program for teenage girls. Our youth are bombarded by corporate media every single day, giving them the same often harmful messages over and over. We teach them how to make their own media because we think it's so important that everybody have a voice and a right to communicate, and those independent platforms must stay open. I also work with Pepper Spray Productions, an all-volunteer activist video collective, and our work plays on Seattle Cable Access Network and 10 other stations nationwide. We cover events where, more often than not, the corporate media outlets don't even show up. And I want to speak very briefly about an event that we covered this past summer, a radio barn raising in Woodburn, Oregon, a town with a majority Latino population. The farmworkers' union there, Picun, had been buying airtime on a local commercial radio station. But when the station found out that they were organizing farmworkers on the air, they kicked them off before their contract was up. So with the help of the Prometheus Radio Project and hundreds of volunteers, Picun built their own low-power FM radio station. Big media had closed the door in their faces, and I thought it was so incredible that this was the only way they could make their voices heard. We need to demand more low-power FM licenses and no elimination and defunding of public access. Thank you so much.
My name is Suzanne Blaze. I'm the owner of Black Dog Productions in Bellingham, Washington. We have about 5 employees. All of us have an average of 20 years experience in commercial television. So you've heard a lot of back in the day stories today. Here's one more. Back when I started 20 years ago, I started out in Market 187, a little town called Eureka, California. And for about 30,000 people, we had 3 commercial stations of license and a PBS station and a PEG channel. Today, in Bellingham, halfway between Seattle and Vancouver, a town of 60,000 people, we have 2 stations of license. One of them is a virtual repeater for a home shopping network, and the other one is owned by Clear Channel.
So about last year, about this time, they got rid of their entire engineering department and moved it to Tulsa, where they're now multicasting. So our station in Bellingham is actually being aired in Tulsa. It's amazing to me that in 20 years, there's been such a degradation in what's available to the average consumer to be able to watch and have access to. I'm here today to tell you that I have a family, I have a business, and I belong to a community, and in no way are my interests being served, any of them, by what's being proposed by your three fellows. And I would like to encourage you, please, to keep up your efforts on our behalf. Thank you.
Hi, we cannot allow the appearance in Seattle of respectful, genuinely interested commissioners, Adelstein and Copps, to provide political cover to the Republican appointees who control the FCC rulings. An unresponsive commission composed also of three Republican appointees who seem to insist with the authority of the federal government on rejecting the voices of the people in our region must be held accountable. Chairman Martin and Commissioners Tate and McDowell, if by some miracle you're listening in your fancy hotel rooms, please make public service a priority concern. Value robust newsrooms, maintain the cross-ownership ban. Stop commercial broadcasters from airing video news releases. Protect the First Amendment by defending web freedom and supporting net neutrality. And expand LPFM license access. For those of us who actually did show up today, what will we say about why we are here? Asking for regulations. Why in the world would, for example, residents of Vashon Island accept the authority of bureaucrats across the country about whether or not they can legally have their own local radio programs? Because sometimes a three-year-old needs to be stopped from running out into traffic. In some cases, grown-ups know better. However, authority must either prove itself legitimate or relinquish power. If FCC field agents with armed federal marshals can seize equipment from unlicensed radio broadcasters like they did around the country during the weeks leading up to the election that started it all for GW, and like they continue to do, how do the commercial TV and radio stations continue to get away with making so much money with the public airwaves? But you don't insist they also serve our communities. If corporate media is allowed to get bigger, and the door is closed on approved opportunities for Vashon Island, why not go pirate? While the three-year-olds in traffic keep coming up with game shows and specials on O.J. Simpson. Yeah. Big thanks to Commissioners Adelstein and Copps for being here.
Commissioners, community, timekeeper. I'm Jeff Hansen. I think I'm supposed to speak next. I think it was. I think we're following a dangerous path. We're becoming more and more an oligarchy and less a democracy. And we need a vibrant, diverse, hard-hitting, free press if we're going to survive as a democracy. Thank you.
Yes, I'm Kenneth Meyer, citizen 34, which unfortunately is not my age. Some wag said before the commissioner about repeated it today that network TV news amounts to murder, sports, and weather. Well, I don't think it matters much who provides this. Non-controversial and least common denominator stuff. And my question is, people have complained about homogenized news, but in point of fact, we have the customary set of network stations in this town, owned by different entities, and still, how much difference is there between them? Very little, as far as I can see. Well, how can we force them to be different I mean, at least until I become emperor and reconstitute the guillotine. Okay, I see no alternative, really, but to write them off. We need to do it ourselves. We need to prevent larger broadcasters of any ilk from encroaching on the bandwidth that should be dedicated to local and community programming by either increasing their power to expand their covered area or confiscating a frequency entirely, has been attempted in this state several times recently. Community radio and low-power FM stations provide focused approach to news analysts and local issues. But the fact is that we're undergoing an unprecedented revolution, often compared to the invention of the printing press. As the country finally enters the world of multi-megabit networks, the opportunity for new sources of information proliferates. Well, where you can see this is going is that the internet is going to provide this. Other people have denied that it will, but I believe that it won't, but I believe that it will. And that as the internet matures, we will have more and more use of it. Newspapers will migrate to the internet more and more, as they've started to now. So the real danger is that entities that provide the network access also provide the content. And so the bottom line to me is network neutrality will go a long way to saving public participation in the media. Thank you.
You're listening to a Federal Communications Commission hearing on media consolidation held in Seattle on November 30th, 2006. The hearing was not considered an official hearing by the FCC because of the absence of the three Republican commissioners. In attendance were FCC commissioners Michael Copps and David Adelstein. The hearing was organized in part by the media activist group Reclaim the Media.
The FCC is accepting written comments on media ownership consolidation until December 21st. To get more information and to file comments online, please visit reclaimthemedia.org, stopbigmedia.com, or fcc.gov.